Alright, we're on the top of Pei Adam Aleph, had the two dots. So the Gemara says, I was quoting now from the Mishnah, that Hididu, right, Lo Yishpeh, that when they grow too big, he doesn't have a right to cut them back. And then the Gemara discussed, or now the Gemara is going to discuss what was raised in the Mishnah about the fact that when you were sharing, when you don't have a sufficient number of trees to own the land, that there is some sort of shared ownership in this tree. That means that anything that emanates from the trunk of the tree belongs to the tree owner, and anything that comes from the shorashim, from the roots, belongs to the bala karka. So Gemara says, "Heichi dami min hageza, v'heichi dami min hashorashim." What's classified as coming out of the trunk, and what's classified as coming out of the roots? So I'm Rabbi Yochanan, "Kol shorei pnei chama zeu min hageza." Anything that sees sunlight is from the trunk. Something that doesn't see sunlight, and that's classified as coming out of the roots. So the Gemara says now that we're actually going to end up with a situation with the possibility that you have a takanas de rabbanon that it actually could cause a major loss to the mocher over here. Why? Let's say that some sort of tornado or a large wind or gusts of wind come along, and then they blow dirt over this extension that is coming out of the geza. Now, Vamale, then the buyer can say, Tlato zvinatli, vile ara. You sold me three trees, and I'm entitled to land along with those trees. So what's the issue? The issue here is that he was sold two trees. So he sold two trees, he doesn't get any land according to the Chachamim. But one of those trees now had a shoot that came out of the trunk, let's say very low to the ground, and that belongs to the owner of the tree. Because we just said before, anything comes from the geza, anything comes from the trunk is his. But now, we also said that the mocher is not allowed to cut down that branch. The mocher has to leave. All branches that come out of the tree has no rights to cut those branches down. So now there's a low-lying branch that's coming out. And then there's some big wind or gusts of wind that come and blow dirt over that extension that's coming out, that shoot that's coming out of the tree. And it makes it look now that that shoot is actually a third tree because it's underground. I mean, that the base of that shoot is underground and now comes up in a different location. And he says, listen, you sold me three trees. I'm entitled to the land. So now you have a Takanas Chachamim which says, do not cut down the tree, or at least what the Rabbanan establishes here, when you get two trees, the Bala Karka is not allowed to cut the trees back. But his inability to cut the trees back now leaves him in a precarious situation, or he's now open to the possibility of being cheated, where someone could claim there was a third tree coming out. So, Al Amar Rav Nachman Yikotz. No, the answer is Yikotz, that he must cut it down. V'chein Amar Rabbi Yochanan Yikotz. So now, what does that mean? That means that true that the person who owns the karka, the mocher, or the person who owns the karka is unable or not entitled to cut down the branches of the tree. Nevertheless, he can demand of the lokeach. He can demand that the lokeach cut the branches down, and they will belong to the lokeach. That's the, so what, this halacha, that kol yotze min hageza, everything that comes out of the trunk, right, belongs to the lokeach, means that once it's cut, it belongs to the lokeach. That does not mean, and the lo yishpeh, the idea that you cannot cut it, right, again, that's not, will not be in a situation where it puts the mocher, the seller, the bala karka in a precarious situation or open to the possibility of being cheated out of his land. So if you have a low-lying shoot that comes out, true, it belongs to the lokeach, but the mocher can demand of him to cut it down so that he doesn't get stuck having to lose, or possibility of losing the fact that there are net, because there could be three trees, or look like there are three trees, and he would lose his karka. That's the first piece. Next. Amar Rav Nachman, Naktinan, Dekel, Ein Lo Geza. We say that a Dekel, a palm tree, has no trunk. So what does that mean, a palm tree has no trunk? Right? I mean, obviously it does have a trunk, but what does it mean? Does that mean, is this a halachic statement, or is this a statement of fact here? So, Savar Rav Zid LeMeimar. So, Rav Zid said, or came to interpret it as being a halachic statement over here. Ein lo geza the bala deka. That the bala deka is not entitled to the geza. What does it mean, not entitled to geza? He's not entitled to the privileges or rights that are granted to him in our Mishnah. Our Mishnah says that if you have the tree, then you're granted, if you own the tree, then you're entitled to anything that comes out of the geza. But what do you mean entitled to everything that comes out of the geza? It means that you're not allowed to, or the mocher is not allowed to cut down or cut back your trees over here. So, Zara Ravid the Memar, Enel Geza the Baladeka, the Kavan. Why? Right. So this is a strange havamino, but the idea being that if in the end the palm tree dies or dries out, when you do not own karka, we said before, what does that mean? When your palm tree dies or your palm tree dries out and it's no longer productive, what happens if you don't own karka? If you don't own karka, the tree is gone. The balakar could come along, take it out, you know, root it out, remove the tree, and that's it. You're not entitled to plant another tree there. You're not entitled to any replacement over there. So now, in the end, what's going to happen to this tree? The future of this tree is determined, which is that it'll no longer be there. The only question is timing. How long? Right? There'll be a period of time that it is there, but in the end, it won't be there. So because of that, Rav Zvid suggests over here, because of a major fact, which we mentioned two daf ago, which is that the palm tree is one of those trunks that does not regenerate. Ein gozer machlif. We said that the Gemara originally started with Erez and Dekel, that ein gozer machlif, that they do not regenerate. And the Gemara concluded, it depends on what type of Erez we're talking about, but a Dekel does not regenerate. So because the Dekel does not regenerate, number two is because you don't own karka here, the eventual, right, or basically the death notice has already been signed on this dekel. So because of that, the person is mesiach date from any growth that comes out of the trunk, because he assumes in the end that there won't be any residual value to this tree. So the other trees that either regenerate, or, right, they are, you own land where you'll be able to replace the tree, in that area you are not... Right, you do not give up hope because you know there's some way that this will last for many, many years beyond the life of the tree itself. But here, since you're limited simply to the tree at hand, so because of that, Zvid suggests that a suche mesech date, that he has no dot on any outgrowth or anything that extends from the trunk over here. Where it says, Matki Flavro Papa, says, what are you talking about? V'ha kone shnei ilanot, when you buy two trees in a field, right, that's a case where you don't own the land. When you own the two trees and you don't own the land, so the trees eventually will be uprooted or taken out of that area. Viktani, and our Mishnah says, yesh lo geza. He does have a geza. He's entitled to anything that extends from the trunk. So in the case of two trees where you have no land, and in the end they're going to be uprooted, nevertheless, our Mishnah still states that you're entitled to what comes out of the geza. So we don't see this automatic or this default status that the person is mesiach date, that he doesn't have any long-ranging or long-term belief that he's going to keep anything here. So therefore, he thinks anything from the geza he gives up. It's not true, and our Mishnah doesn't say that. El amar papa ein lo geza the baal dekel lefish ein motzi geza. So Rav Papa says that no, ein geza the baal dekel is because ein lo geza. So the Rav Papa is now changing, right, the fact that it's not an issue of a halakhic issue, but rather, right, a practical or factual issue, which is that how does a palm tree grow? Palm tree grows from the top, not from the bottom. And the guess is because there's just never anything growing from the trunk of a palm tree. Palm tree always extends itself or regrows from the top. And that was the Rashbam quote says the example, the Gemara that we had earlier, at the Gemara that we had on Samach Tet about how do we know what is classified as a dekel and how we know what's classified as an ilan or other fruit trees. So the classification or the determination of what was a dekel was anything you had to climb a rope, right, to get up to the top. You needed a rope to get up to the fruits on the top. That's because the palm tree always extends from above. So if that's the case, that means that the buyer of a tree or owner of the dekel does not have in mind anything that grows from the trunk, because he assumes nothing will grow from the trunk. So since he has no intention to take anything that grows from the trunk, he's mesiach date, he doesn't have, right, any connection to that which grows from the trunk. So even though he technically owns the trunk, and he owns technically what comes out of there, but since it was not in his mind, when it transaction went through, and the statement of the Rashba is Chomilsa de lo mesik lokeach adate lo kani. Anything that the lokeach would not have foresight that will happen, you're not kunen. So it's over here, since a palm tree generally does not extend from its trunk, therefore the lokeach has no intention to take it or doesn't have any mind to be kunen such an item. Mar says Rav Zvid kasha mas nisen. So what about for Rav Zvid? What is he going to do with our Mishnah? So Rav Papa, you know, explained Rav Nachman's statement differently. Rav Papa says that Rav Nachman's statement is a statement of fact, right, that has halachic implications, whereas Rav Zvid says, no, it's a halachic statement about in Lugeza. But when we said that the Rav Zvid said it was a halachic statement, we ran into a problem with our Mishnah. How does he ever solve the problem of our Mishnah? He says, no problem. What? Rav Zvid Garish Masisin? No. The Zavin, the Chamesh Shanim, that he sells it for 5 years. So now when you sell it for a fixed amount of time, your rights actually extend beyond the life of the tree. Because here, if you simply buy the tree, then all you have is the tree. So that's why it would be Mesiach Date. On the other hand, if he buys it for 5 years, 10 years, 15 years, if he buys it for a fixed period of time, then it's not only are you entitled to the tree that's there, but that means if the tree dies, you're entitled to replant the tree. Because you have a duration, not a single tree that you have purchased. You purchased it 5 years worth of dekel in this location. So if the dekel dies, you're allowed to replace that dekel. Because of that, then you're not Mesiach Date. In that case, you're not Mesiach Dat because there is a life beyond the life of this tree. And since there's a life beyond the life of this tree, then you would not be Mesiach Dat from that which is there. So that's how Rav Zvid will explain our Mishnah. Explain our Mishnah as a case where you give fixed durations. Those fixed durations will have a life beyond the tree itself, and because of that, kol yotzei min hagez, anything that comes out of the trunk will belong to the lokeach, because lokeach has in mind for these things, because he thinks he's going to be there long term, he's going to be there for that fixed time. On the other hand, if he doesn't have this fixed time, then he only has is the tree itself. If he has the tree itself, then the assumption is that if the tree is going to die at some point, he doesn't have dat on it. If he doesn't have dat on it, he doesn't get that which comes out of the trunk. Right now, kana shlosha, kana karka. Even our Mishnah, the Machlokes is Chacham and Rabbi Meir. Chacham say that if you buy 3 trees, you get karka. Rabbi Meir says you buy 2 trees, you get karka. The Gemara asks a simple question, right, which is v'kamu. Right, what is the amount of karka that you get along with the trees? What are you entitled to? Sure, you get karka, but what do you get? So Amar Rav Chiya Bar Avraham Yochanan Rizeh Kana Tachtehen Ubenehem V'chutzalahen Kamlo Ora V'salo. So you're entitled to all land that is distributed between the trees, that is under the trees. Under the trees doesn't mean the trunk, but under the, right, the shade of the tree, let's call it. Underneath the nof, right, anywhere that the branches extend, you're entitled to that. Plus, beyond that, so whatever that, say if it was a perfect circle of trees, then you'd get the circumference that extends, right, around where the radius of that is to the point of where the trees end, the branches of the trees end. Plus, in addition, you'll get a point of Ora V'Salo. Ora is a picker and his basket. Because when the Baal Karka sold you the Karka, it was to function with these trees. So if you function, or what the needs of these trees are the land in between them, to plow and to take care of, to water, the land under them, plus extended land that will allow you to pick and to harvest these trees. So that you get up to a Melo Arav, it's Arav V'Salom.
That land is dynamic, it's constantly growing.
Right, so that may not be, it may not be the case that it's dynamic. It's fixed at the time of the sale. And then we said before that if your branches extend beyond that land, he can cut them down. Right, I mean that the land that is assigned to those trees is the land at the time that the purchase goes through. All right, so now, Mati Flo. It's just a nice, before we go on, this is a nice Rashbam over here. It's just a little grammar, not a grammar, but a definitional Rashbam. If you look in the last wide line of the Rashbam, on the top of Pei Bet Amud Bet, he says that an Ora, he says, is a picker, some sort of one who picks figs. So if you look at the line, he says, Ora Shayach Lamer B'Teinim. Ora is when you harvest, right, or pick, Teinim, it's the picker of the figs. Butzer banavim, person who is, it's both the active verb as well as the person who does it. So banav picks grapes or harvests grapes, it's called a butzer. Kotzer, when you call it to cut, kotzer is for tvua, is for grains. It says goder. Goder is the verb that's used for picking dates or the picker of dates. Umosek, the verb mosek is used for zeitim, is for olives. And mulaket is by other trees. So it gives you all the verbs for harvesting in the context of these different trees or fruits and grains. Matkif lava balazar. Vedest. Hashta derech enlo. Ora visalo yeshlo. So here the Bach eliminates a large tract of this section because otherwise the question doesn't make sense. So it's really derech enlo de arach ritahi. Right, so I'll read it the way the Bach eliminates. The Bach eliminates basically from the word a little aleph there to four, six, seven words. He limits the next seven words, otherwise the question doesn't make sense. So it's Makal of Rabbi Elazar, Ashto Derech Ein Lo. Here he doesn't have a Derech through it, Darach Ritahi. Or Vesalo, Yeshlo. He's going to get Or Vesalo. What's the question that Rabbi Elazar is asking? Well, as it says, if you go back to the Mishnah, the end of a Mukher at a Bayit, if someone sells land to you, and what is the belief of Rabbi Akiva is that a mocher is mocher ba'ayin yafa. Chamin believe that a mocher is mocher ba'ayin ra'ah. He sells you a captive field inside of his property, then you do not get access rights. The derech is not sold to you. The pathway to get to your field is not sold to you unless you explicitly say so, or you add something that would have been extraneous that says to us you're granting him the rights to get through. So he's saying, listen, if you sell the guy a field, you don't even give him a path to get to his field through your field. Now you're going to suggest that he gets ora v'salo, that he's going to get the beyond the extent of the shade of the trees or the branches of the trees. You're going to give him extended play over here, extended land to work on his tree. How could that be? Doesn't make sense. So Amar Rabbi Zeiro. Rabbi Zeiro says, "Midivrei Rabbeinu." From the statement, really, or the question of Rabbi Elazar, we can conclude, "Nomad shloshahu de'en lo derech." That only when you purchase three trees do you not get a path or access to your trees. Hashnayim, yeshlo. But if you have two trees there, then you would get a path.
Did you
miss something? The Bach, he eliminates the seven words, so that's what we left out, seven words of the in the middle of the statement of Rabbi Elazar. Otherwise, the question doesn't flow. Right? So, hashnayim, yeshlo. Damalei, baradidach kaimei. Because he can say, listen, they're in your property. So this turns out to be, from Rabbi Elazar, the conclusion is that it's an amazing thing. Rabbi Elazar, the reason he's medayik from Rabbi Elazar is that Rabbi Elazar says it's arach ritahi. The reason you're not entitled to a path to your captive field is because there is a different owner here. You own the land in the middle, this captive field, and the seller to you sold you land that's his. So why aren't you entitled to a derech, to a path? It's because arach rita. You have two distinct owners over here. The two distinct owners, he sells it to you by ayin ra'ah, and he doesn't grant you rights to go through. On the other hand, if you buy simply two trees, do you own the land? No. So how are you able to have your trees on this land? You don't own any land here. All the land, including the land where the trees are sitting and under it, belong to one owner. That's the seller, the person who sold you those two trees. So how are you able to have your trees grow here? How are you able to pick your trees here? Well, the owner of the land was mishabed his land to the needs of your trees. You bought two trees. The only way that you would buy two trees here is because they're going to remain on his land. They're going to remain on his land. His land is mishubad to the trees. So now, if his land is mishubad to the trees, that means that his land is also mishubad to get you access to those trees because there's no distinct ownership over here. But Lezer's statement means that the only time that we say ba'ayin ra'ah, mocher, is where there's distinct ownership. And he can say, listen, you get your land, I get my land. We're separate. But where a person is mishaved his land to the needs of the trees, then we say he's mishaved them totally. Not only for the use of the trees, but the access to the trees. And therefore you would get a path through. It's almost back. If you buy less, you get more. So, Amar Leih Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak, the Rav Leima Rabbi Elazar, Leit Leih Dishmo Rabbe. Based on Rabbi Elazar says, let's say Rabbi Elazar doesn't hold of his Rebbe Shmuel. Why? Damar Shmuel, halacha k'Rabbi Akiva. Halacha k'Rabbi Akiva, damar mocher b'ayin yafa mocher. Shmuel's Rebbe says that the halacha is like Rabbi Akiva. If you think the halacha is like Rabbi Akiva, that means that mocher b'ayin yafa mocher. Yet, Rabbi Elazar is explaining our Mishnah, or he's explaining our situation over here, based on Mocher Ba'ayin Ra'a Mocher, that you don't get a Derech. He's challenging the explanation of our Mishnah about how much land you get to include Malo Orav Isalo. And he says the reason that doesn't make sense is because when you're Mocher Ba'ain Ra. That means that he thinks that the halacha is a Mocher Ba'ain Ra, and therefore he has a problem over here. Yet his Rebbe Shmuel says that a Mocher is Ba'ain Ra. Mocher sells with generously. So Malay, Lo Mutakma Matnitan Karabi Akiva. Says our Mishnah, so the response of Rava is no. The reason Rabbi Lazar establishes our Mishnah like Rabbi Akiva is because there's no other way to learn. Rabbi Akiva must be the author of our Mishnah, like the Chachamim. Because the Chachamim must be the author of our Mishnah, Rabbi Akiva cannot be the author of our Mishnah. How do you know that Rabbi Akiva can't be the author of Mishnah? Mimai. Because it says, Miktani, Higdilo Yishpe. It says there that if he grows, you cut it down. Meaning that if it extends, this is your question just before, but if it extends beyond the property that you were granted along with your trees, the seller or the person who owns the property outside of you is entitled to cut down your trees or cut down the branches they're extending into their property. If the author of our mission is Bikiva, why should he be entitled to cut them down? The seller sold it to you b'ayin yafeh. If he sold it to you b'ayin yafeh, means he grants you all rights that are possible. What are the other rights? The rights are including branches that extend over into my property. Just like you get a derech, just like you get a path to go through to access your property, so too you get the rights that if your trees overgrow your property, that I can't cut them back. That's ayin yafeh. Since our Mishnah says that you don't get that right, it's clear that Rabbi Akiva is not the author of our Mishnah. If Rabbi Akiva is not the author of our Mishnah, then it must be the Chachamim. If it is the Chachamim, that's where Rabbi Lazar premises his question. He's not saying, I hold like the Chachamim. He says, but since our Mishnah is the Chachamim, and if it's the Chachamim, how could you explain our Mishnah to include Malo Arab Salo, to grant extra rights around the trees when you don't even get a derech, you don't even get a path to get to your property? Samalei says, wait a minute. That's not Rabbi Akiva necessarily. Why? Imor Dama Rabbi Akiva Gabe Bor V'dot V'amach She'ara. It's true by a borva dot that they do not detract from the land that they sit on. And they do nothing to deteriorate the current status of the land. And therefore, when we say a mocher, mocher ba'ayin yafa, according to Rabbi Akiva, is that he leaves these items over.
Is it the land that they sit on, or is it the land around them?
It's both. All right, true. They're not sitting on the land anymore. That's why they're separate. But right, the land around them. It does nothing to hurt, right, the ownership or the ownership rights of the individual as the land around them. But that's not true. Gabilan Mishmaitle. Who says that Rabbi Akiva says by Nilan, where there is detriment to the land around it, who says that he says that Amokher Bain Yafamokher? Milo Modi Rabbi Akiva, Bilan Anotel Lotok Steh Chaveiro. Even Rabbi Akiva agrees that when you have a tree that extends, overextends its property line into your friend's property, Shukotseitz. Lo Amardeya, Mel Gabi Machresha. You're allowed to cut back the branches to allow the plow to go through, enough that the plow plus the driver can get through. If that's the case, right, even Rabbi Akiva admits that there's a limit to what Ayin Yafa means over here. Ayin Yafa is only when you are not Nechsar, can't be Nechsar, but Nechsar Legamri, meaning that where the loss is not a huge loss. Where the small losses involved, then Rabbi Akiva says, Amacher b'Ayin Yafa Mocher. But where the losses are huge losses, meaning that he's not going to lose the ability to plow his land over there. He's going to lose the ability to plant his land over there. What are we worried about here? When the branches extend over the property line, they cast shade over that area. That's going to make that area unable to be planted because there's no sunlight coming down into that area. So now you're not the tree is not simply, okay, the tree's there, it doesn't do anything bad to you, let the branches grow over. When the tree's branches grow over, they block the plow from going through, they're detrimental to anything that's growing under them. There, Rabbi Akiva does not say, ba'ayin yafa mochem. So now, based on this conclusion, the truth is that Rabbi Lazar is not holding like his Rabbi Shmuel in the end. He's saying that our Mishnah is the Rabbanan, even though it's not mukrach that the Mishnah be the Rabbanan, because even Rabbi Akiva can fit into our Mishnah. Because Rabbi Akiva agrees, when the branches extend over the property line, you let it cut them. So Rabbi Akiva could be our author of our Mishnah, and say, ayin yafa. And yet, Rabbi Elazar is challenging the whole premise of how much property you get from the Chachamim and saying the Chachamim and the authors are Mishnah. So in conclusion, it's true. Rabbi Elazar is not holding like his Rabbi Shmuel. So Rabbi Shmuel held like Rabbi Akiva, that Ayin Yafa Mocher, but Rabbi Elazar holds like the Chachamim, that Ba'ayin Ra'a Mocher. Now the Gemara says, Tanya Kavasit Rabbi Chir Ba'ava. It's been so long, we forgot the Rabbi Chir Ba'ava, but Rabbi Chir Ba'ava, Amar Rabbi Yochanan was the first statement in our Gemara, this section, which is that you're entitled. When you get entitled to land, how much land do you get? You get all the land between the trees plus extending through their nof plus ora v'salo. So that we have a brace that supports that position. Basically, exact statement. I mean, that's Tanya Kavasa, you don't get a better brisa that says exactly what Rabbi Chiya Bar Abba says. And that's a conclusion about how much land one is entitled to when they have trees there. So now, Amalei Abai, Rav Yosef, Otan or Rav Solo, mi Zoran? It's an interesting question, but who is entitled to plant that property? What rights do you have in that property? You're granted rights of land to take care of your trees. So you get the land. Now, the Oravis Olo is a bonus. The bonus is that it gives you ability or access to harvest your trees. So the land is definitely a bonus. That bonus land, who is entitled to use it when it's not in the function or used for the function of harvesting those trees? So for instance, throughout the planting season and throughout the time where it's not necessary for you to harvest these trees, who can use that land there? Is it, right, the lokeach, let's call it the buyer of the trees, who now is entitled to the land, does he get that land and he can object to the mocher from using that land? Or, right, or do we say that the land is really belongs to the mocher, the seller, the land, the person who owns the land around it can use that land? Now, when it comes to harvest time, he's going to mishabed. He's going to say, listen, I can do whatever I want on this land to pick my trees. If I ruin whatever you have there, that's too bad. But that's my entitlement. You can plant whatever you want. You can do whatever you want there. But at the time of harvest, I'm going to walk on here without consideration for what you have here. Who owns it? That's the question over here. So Amalei Tinitua. We have a Tanaic work that tells us what this is, a Mishnah, right? That Chitzon Zorea Et Aderef. When you have these captive fields, a captive field where you need a derech, you need access to get through to your internal field. So now, that path that goes through the outer field, who's allowed to work that field? The outer field. The person who owns the field with the path going through it, he can plant that area. So even though you have rights to walk on it, sure, you can walk, you can step on his crops, you can do whatever you want, you have rights to get through, but he can plant it. So the same thing should be over here. Melo Oravisalo, the person who owns the land around it should be able to plant it, and when it comes to harvest, he'll step on his stuff, that'll be fine. So Melei Midomi, how can you compare the cases? Over here, by the case of the path, when he plants the path, what's the big deal? He'll just walk on whatever's there, and he'll get through. Aval, over here, there is Pseida Lelokeach. Why? When I go to pick my figs, or my figs fall off the tree, they're going to land on your vegetables or whatever you planted over here, and they're going to become disgusting or dirty. And therefore, I don't want this stuff here. So then, I don't want this stuff. Now, first of all, I mean, look, the Gemara takes it as a fact. Rashbam explains that. I'm not sure I totally understand. Imagine you planted, here he has a pathway to get through this field. The guy decides to plant a tomato plant all along the way. So now you have to walk to your field. You've got to walk on tomatoes the whole way there. I can't imagine that's not some sort of inconvenience. But the Gemara takes it as a given that, you know, whatever he plants there sounds like it'll be a dry crop with grains or something that runs around. You can just walk over it. So you ruin it, fine, but it's not a big bother to you. On the other hand, there's a real chisaron here. There's a real hezek, we'll call it, some sort of hezek gadol here. When he plants the area around the trees and the fruits are going to fall there, or going to be dropped or harvested there and going to get ruined, then you've ruined the whole point of buying the trees. Buying the trees is to get the fruit. Now the fruit will get ruined by your planting around them. That we don't let you do. So Gemara says, Haludam yelo the seifa. The case here, what is the status of this property is, it's like the seifa of that Mishnah. That say for the Mishnah is where Beis Din grants them a derech, or they have an agreement that they get a derech, and says zev zeh in Roshem Lazara. The neither party can plant it. Since this is some sort of agreement or pshara, that neither party has the right to plant it. And that'll be the same over here. That neither party has the right to plant it. That area must remain fallow. Fallow because we want to protect the fruits of the individual that has his trees there. But also fallow because we don't want him to extend right over into the, right, that person can't plant all the way up to the property line because we don't want him to extend over into the property of the mocher. We didn't really grant him rights to plant, just granted him rights to harvest his trees. Right now, Tanya Kavasi Abaye, we have a brisa that supports the position of Abaye that there is nobody can plant it over here. Again, you get all that property, just like Rabbi Chiya Rabba said, But neither party can plant that area. So now, next question. How far apart do the trees have to be in order for you to be granted land? If you could buy three trees and you're granted land with it, how far apart do those trees can be? Now, that's a question from two sides. If they are too far apart, then they become individual trees and they're not a steady line. They're not a field of trees. On the other hand, if they're too close together, right, the Rashbam says everywhere, then it has the din of a yar, the din of a forest, and it's made to be uprooted. Tosus disagrees early in the Masechta about that hamdara, that it's a yar, but he says that the problem when they're too close is that a person will never leave trees in that proximity because they ruin or they cause damage to each other, and therefore at some point he's going to have to remove one of these trees in order to allow for the full growth of the other tree. So since it's omed akira, it's as if it doesn't exist. So it can't be too close together and it can't be too far apart. What is that range of distance in trees that allows or entitles you to get land over here? So Rav Yosef Amar Rav Yehuda, Amar Shmuel. So this is Shmuel, right, with his Talmud Rav Yehuda, and then Rav Yosef saying in his name, Ma'arba Amot at Shmuel Amot. 4 to 8 Amot is the distance. Anything, a tree that's found between 4 until 8, that is the distance which classifies it as a stay land. If you have three trees within 4 to 8 amot of each other, not less than 4, not more than 8, right, then you are, right, then you have a stay line. Rava Amar Rav Nachman Amar Shmuel. So this is another Shoshelet Halacha from Shmuel, but this comes down from Rav Nachman, right? This Amar Rav Nachman was a, right, the Dayan that comes from Rava, that's Mishmona Ad Sheshisri Amot, that the distance is from 8 to 16. Right, so you have to have no less than 8 and no more than 16 amot apart in order to classify them as hasteilan for three trees to be distant. So I'm going to lay Abaye, who is the peer of Rava, right, the Baal Punkt of Rava, says the Rav Yosef. Rav Yosef, right, who has his shoshelet through Rav Yehuda Meshmuel. So Abaye, who's Rava's partner, saying, who has the shoshelet from Rav Nachman, says, Lo tifla galei de Rav Nachman. Don't argue on Rav Nachman. We have a Mishnah that goes like him. Ditanan. Person who plants his kerem, plants his vineyard. When you plant a vineyard, the question is, when does something become a vineyard? A kerem. How do you get the status of a kerem? If you simply plant single vines, then you don't have a din of a kerem. Then you have a vine. You have a grapevine. You don't have a kerem. What's the difference? What's the difference if you have a kerem or you have a single vine that's growing? The difference has to do with kilayim. How far apart do you have to separate between what you plant next to the kerem? If you don't want to have kilayat kerem, you know, say you have tevah, you want to plant wheat next to your vineyard. How far away do you have to be from the vineyard, right, in order to plant your wheat? Well, that'll depend. If it's classified as a kerem, then you'll have to give what's called Kedei Abadata Kerem. In order to plant, you'll have to leave a large tract in order to plant and not a big climb. Know that if it's a single vine, it's classified not as a Kerem, but a single vine, you'll just have to distance what's called Shir Yenika, the amount of that they don't draw from each other, so they're not yonik one from the other. That's a much smaller area that you'll have to leave. So how does something become classified as a Kerem? So the Mishnah tells us, it has to be shnayim keneged shnayim v'chad yotzei zanav. It's two. It's basically a box of 4 trees plus one extra fifth tree that sticks out. So those 5 trees, once you have 5, it's not really trees, vines, 5 grapevines together, they become a kerem. But that's only if they are within 16 amot of each other. I mean, that has to be that they are close enough together that they're classified as a kerem. If they are more than 16 amot away from each other, they're no longer considered to be a single kerem, to be a vineyard. So therefore, if you have 2 rows of vines, let's call this 2 rows of grapevines, they're more than 16 amot apart, these 2 rows of grapevines. They're not connected. They're not a vineyard. If they're not a vineyard, then you could plant grains in between them. Because you don't have to leave, right, that's a kerem, you don't have to leave this large tract for kilei kerem. All you have to do is leave shirinika. So if you are more than 16 amot apart, you can plant right along the middle a bunch of tefuah between them because they're not classified as a kerem. So that's the case over here. The Mishnah that goes like Rabbi Natan. Tetan, on noteya tekarmo, shesh esri amah, al shesh esri amah, mutar lavi zero l'sham. He does it 16 by 16, meaning he plants that there are more than 16 or 16 amot apart, then you can put tefuah in between, you won't have a problem of kilei hakeren. But what do you see from this? You see from this that what is classified as a distance beyond which they're not considered a single entity, 16 amot. That's exactly like Rav Nachman Shita. 8 to 16 is the number, the threshold is 16 amot. So we see a Mishnah that sounds like Rav Nachman. So I'm Rabbi Yehuda. Masib et Salmon bechad shnata et karmo shishreyama. That there was this individual in Salmon who planted his vineyard with the vines that were exactly 16 amot apart. Now, what's the problem with vines that are 16 amot apart? That their shoots, or the vines themselves, grow outside. If you planted them exactly 16 amot apart, then the vines themselves extend into that 16 amot, and they make it, less than 16 amot. If it's less than 16 amot, it's no longer not a kerem, it is a kerem. So what did he used to do every year? He used to take all the vines, and he used to flip them over to one side of the row of vines here. So you have a row of grapevines, and they have shoots that are coming out of them. You take all those shoots and place them on one side. Then the vines that were the next row of vines, you do the same thing, but in the opposite direction. The opposite direction means they face each other. So he takes two sets of vines here. If you look at this, you have two rows like this, and he flips all the vines into the middle between those two rows. And what would he do then? He'd plant the rows that are on the outside, which have 16 amot between them, because now all the vines are in the middle. He'll plant the rows in between. So say you have four or five, six rows of vines. So every two rows, he would take two rows, move all their vines into the middle. Then the next two rows of vines will be empty between them. Then the one after that will have all the branches in between. Next one will be empty. So what does he do? He goes and plants those empty tracks. He plants with tevuah, because all those areas are 16 amot apart, and therefore they're not classified as a kerem over there, and he plants. Then, what does he do the following year? So he says, Ayofix Sa'ar Shtei Shirot Letzad Echad. He used to flip all the vines over to one side. Mazareya Tanir. And he plant the empty tracks between the two rows of vines. L'shana Acher, the next year, Ayofix Sa'ar L'makom Azera. He would take the vines, or the extension of the vines, over and flip them the opposite direction, to the area that he planted in the previous year, Zerat Abur. And then he plants the track that was empty the previous year. Again, 16 amot is the qualification, and that is Rav Nachman's Shita. So that would be support for Rav Nachman. So again, we have from Kilei HaKerem, we have a rayo that 16 amot is the distance that you need in order to be classified as being separate entities. Rashbam by Kilei HaKerem, we think of Kilei HaKerem as being you plant a tree and a vine, or you plant tevuah and a vine over there, and that's Kilei HaKerem. That's what it sounds like. So the Rashbam just throws in as a side here that there's a shitas Rabbi Yoshi that we bump into in other places. He says, Miyu, Anan Haidna Kaimalan Rabbi Yoshi. We hold like Rabbi Yoshi. Bikilaim, Achi Zra Chita, Sora, Vichatzan, Bemapolat Yad. In order to be chayav in kilayim, it's on the bottom of pei bed amud bet. It's 2, 4, 6, 7 lines up in the Rashbam. It says that in order to be chayav in kilei hakerem, you have to plant in one shot. You have to have chita, se'ora, and chatzan. You have to have a grape seed, a wheat seed, and a barley seed all put down in the same location in order to be kilei hakerem. Rabbi Yoshia, that's the shita and shechitat kulin. He says that's what we pass them like today. So it's much more difficult to come up with a circumstance where you're going to have kilei hakerem. He just throws it in as an aside, just pasuk in halacha, since we mentioned kilei hakerem, that what the Mitzvah mentioned here about kilei hakerem is not necessarily the halacha. So Amalei, Ana lo yudana. He says, I don't know. It's Rav Yosef speaking back to him. Ana lo yudana. You know, when he says, I don't know, he means, I don't hold of this. Right? I don't hold of this. So I know the sphere late.
I don't know from this.
Right, I don't know from this. Now, the reason that Abaye challenges Rav Yosef, if you remember, is that Rav Yosef got sick in the middle of his life and forgot all that he had learned. So then he relearned everything again. So many times you'll see some saying to Rav Yosef, didn't you tell us before? So Abaye was suggesting to Rav Yosef, maybe you got it wrong this time. Maybe before you learned it and then you held like Rav Nachman, now you changed your mind. Rav Yosef's response is, no, lo yadan, I don't know any about this, I don't agree. Ela uv dahava bedura dirauta. That there was this place called Dura Deruta. The Rashbam earlier on said it's either the name of a place or a Yershal Ro'im, a city of shepherds, which he gave both definitions before when we saw Dura Deruta. And they came before Rav Yehuda. Zil Havle Kimlo Abakar V'Kelav. So this case where a person sold three ilanot, right, to an individual, and they were only, right, there wasn't even eight amot between them. So when there wasn't eight amot between them, he says, go, Rabbi Yehuda nevertheless said to him, give him the karka that he's entitled to. He says, given that the karka he's entitled to, below hava yadana kumle bakarva kilav kama. I didn't know how much that meant. I don't know how much property he was telling him to give him. Came into Shmaitele the Tanan. I heard this Mishnah, which is, lo ita adam ilan samuchlus adech haveiro. A person may not pay a tree right up against his friend's property. Why? Because when he comes to work the tree, he's going to have to enter his friend's property to use the tree. Elam kim hirchik mimeno dalet amot. Right? And unless he leaves dalet amot between the tree and the border. The Tanya law, and that we had explained, dalet amot shemru kidei avodat hakerem. That the, what is that for amot? That's the ability to work the kerem. Over there, it's not necessarily a vineyard. Over here, it's avodat ilan. But it's the same thing. It's a generic term, avodat hakerem, which means that the four amot, you have to leave four amot around. Amina, shvamina, kumalei bakar, v'kelav, dalet amot. How much is the malei bakar, right, and kelav? How much is a malei bakar v'kelav? How much is a cow that has all its kids, or, you know, an ox that's working with all its, you know, all its trappings? How much space does that take? That takes four amot. And therefore, the distance over here that we're talking about, give him the karka that has malo bakar v'kelav. So now, if the karka between these trees is malo bakar v'kelav, that means that it's somewhere between four and eight amot. It's around four amot. That's the case. That's the position like Rabbi Yosef quoted in the name of Rabbi Yehuda Amar Shmuel. So he says, I know that Rabbi Yehuda clearly holds this way, and he got it from Shmuel, and therefore I believe the distance in the trees here is 4 to 8, and not 8 to 16. You have your, you know, Mesorah from Rav Nachman. I have my Mesorah from Rav Yehuda, that is between 4 and 8 amot. Okay, well, we'll stop over here.